Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Boom. No pun intended there. As you can see on the thumbnail of the show, Alec Baldwin just charged with involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of Helena Hutchinson on the set of the now-defunct film Rust. He's not the only one who's been charged. A number of other people have been as well. I think that this is probably the most fitting, charge that we could have for the people involved in this. Because it doesn't seem like it was on purpose, necessarily. I don't know. Maybe something weird's going on behind the scenes. Certainly, it was involuntary manslaughter. So, by charging Alec Baldwin with involuntary manslaughter, it makes it very difficult for the jury to do anything but convict him. Myself and Abe also have a whole host of other programs and stories we're going to be talking about right now. So please do me a favor. Don't forget to like and share the broadcast. Hit that thumbs up sign over there on the Rumble channel. If you're on Getter, drop a couple of hearts. If you're on Odyssey, click that flame. And if you're on the Foxhole, hit that red pill. And thank you very much to the people who are supporting the channel. Really, really appreciate it. All right, so do me a favor. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because Abe and I, right back after this. Hello, welcome back to the show, and Abe, it looks like we're having a camera malfunction. I don't see anything on screen but your GoPro screen, but either way, thank you very much to everyone for joining us. Thank you to Abe, as always, for being here on this and every Thursday. Thank you to the people hanging out there in the chat. So, Abe, how are you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, man. I'm trying to hang in there. Lots of prayers coming out of the ways of everybody in this community is going through some hard times. Seems like there's a lot of people that are still struggling. So I've been appreciating that very much. And, you know, just doing the grind, man, trying to focus on the important things and trying to steer people away from the garbage, man, the best we can. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm always looking forward to Thursdays with you, bro.
Awesome. Me too. Well, you know, I think that that's an excellent segue there, because it's ironic to me that I see this story about Alec Baldwin today. You know, it's something I've been waiting for. I think a lot of us have been waiting to see if Alec Baldwin would be charged, his behavior after the shooting, his strange interviews that he gave to the mainstream media, the obvious pandering that he was engaging in, trying to buddy up to the family of Helena Hutchinson, her husband and her son. He paid a large undisclosed settlement amount for her wrongful death. You know, all of it combined. Don't let me forget to say that Alec Baldwin did not seem to want to hand his phone over to the investigators there in New Mexico. Alec Baldwin did a lot to throw the investigation on a curveball. And I think that's because he's not dumb, okay? And he knew from the get-go that he would be looking at some potentially life-altering charges. Something like this, involuntary manslaughter, all it means is that you killed somebody in the commission of doing a lawful act and you didn't mean to. Well, Helena Hutchinson's dead. Alec Baldwin has gone on record on a number of interviews saying that he didn't mean to do it. He also claimed he didn't pull the trigger. But anybody out there who is a Second Amendment aficionado knows that there are certain guns where that's pretty difficult to do. One of these really heavy draw six shooters, like the cowboy killers they're using here on the set of this film and then back in the Wild West, you had to have quite the strong pull to make sure that that gun went off. And then, of course, you have the situation. How did the bullets actually get onto the set? Certainly that is negligence. And without those present, then Helena Hutchins would probably still be alive. The reason this is ironic to me is because yesterday I saw a podcaster, somebody with a show, an unnamed person. I don't even want to say their name. They made the claim that the death of Helena Hutchins was a white hat operation, that the white hats, the good guys, had set Alec Baldwin up, put that bullet into his gun so that he would accidentally kill this woman. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I think it's really insensitive and it shows a complete lack of understanding and moral character. To me, the idea that the good guys would kill an innocent woman just to put Alec Baldwin in prison for up to 18 months, I'm not buying it. I can't even believe it when I saw that.
Yeah. The idea that white hats would sanction the killing of others for a narrative is just that sounds like glowy seating narratives to me. That just makes no sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I haven't really looked into any of this stuff very much, to be honest. It's just something about the story from the beginning has never made sense, right? Yeah, there's no way that anybody who has ever held a handgun in their life before grabs a gun and just goes, yeah, cool, man. And just, you know, I wanted to demonstrate how to hand a handgun to somebody else. It's very simple. You just clear the gun as soon as somebody hands it to you. It's common practice for any gun owner. The first thing you do is clear it and make sure that there's no, you know, make sure that it's safe. So this idea that Alec Baldwin somehow is, trained firearms, a person and didn't know better just doesn't make sense. And then secondarily, why? Right? Like there's no sense behind any of this. No. The only thing that makes sense is Alec needed to get rid of somebody for a reason.
Absolutely.
And they facilitated this to happen in some way possible. That's the only thing that makes sense in this that I can see, bro.
That's what makes the most sense to me too. If there is some level of culpability, some intention on behalf of anyone in this situation, I would imagine it would be on behalf of Alec Baldwin. Now, the safety practices that exist on a set like this, you know, first of all of these people would have been trained, but this is really not super surprising when you understand Alec's history, just generally being a piece of shit, but then also the way that he handles firearms on set. I've heard on a number of occasions that there were some incidents in the past. Also, the armorer, I can't remember her name, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, she was rather new. She was pretty much untrained in this situation. But there's like a series of checks and balances. You know, there's like three people that gun would go through, and every single one of them is supposed to make sure that there's no live rounds in it. And there never should have been any live rounds on the set either. So the idea that this woman would have been killed for some like a greater purpose, it's somehow going to benefit us in saving the nation. That's foolish. And we've got a child without a mother. We've got a husband without a wife. And Alec Baldwin now has blood on his hands. It never should have happened. But the idea that this was done on purpose for a good reason is just baffling to me.
I mean, I'm not interested in defending Alec Baldwin. Let me be real here. But if I'm on set and I'm doing a movie and part of the movie is some kind of, gun scene where I take the gun and I pull a trigger, right, on set, the chances of me being concerned that somebody working for the movie would hand me a gun with a live round in it, about zero, right? So it's not exactly something that I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, I'm on movie set. Let me just treat this like it's an actually loaded gun. So why then is Alec Baldwin being charged with involuntary manslaughter, but the people who are behind it and the people who are supposed to ensure safety on set, no mention of them?
Well, this is the thing. Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the armorer, she's also being charged with involuntary manslaughter. And I don't know, his name is David Halls. He's the one who handed Biden. He's the one who handed Baldwin the gun. And I guess he's the one who was actually in control of the bullets. So he pled guilty to a misdemeanor in this case. He's already pled guilty. I'm sure he's going to testify against Gutierrez Reed and then also against Alec Baldwin. EC was here, says Baldwin doesn't believe any rules apply to him and his beliefs will be confirmed when he gets his plea deal. We'll see about that. I think you're right. I think Alec believes that none of these laws apply to him. I think that the fact that they're trying to charge him with involuntary manslaughter at this point might mean that they've already attempted to reach a plea deal with him and they were unable to. I could be totally wrong, and it would not surprise me if he got a plea deal. But even if he does go to trial, it also wouldn't surprise me if he got a relatively light sentence. You know, watch him get, 60 days in jail or something like that. But either way, this is a story about the death of a young woman that was completely avoidable. I'd like to transition to the story of a death that was alleged to have happened. And if you were watching television during the height of 2020, you might have seen a show called The Tiger King. Did you ever watch The Tiger King, Abe?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I know a lot of people did.
I heard all about it, and I was trying to figure out what the crave was with all this stuff, and I heard about the controversy and all that stuff, but I had never actually seen a show.
It was like watching a very interesting car wreck, and there was a movement for Donald Trump Jr. trying to get President Trump to pardon the Tiger King himself, Joe. But anyways, one of the plot points of the show was that this woman named Carol Baskin, who was the Tiger King's mortal enemy, was alleged to have murdered her husband. He disappeared back in the 1980s or something like that. Well, I guess they did a part two of the show. I didn't even know that. And apparently in the midst of that show, it was revealed that her husband had actually just ran away. He left her. He left her and he flew to Costa Rica. And apparently he had a mistress. He's just been living alive and well down in Costa Rica. His name is Don Lewis. And this really dashes a lot of people's theories about the show. I just thought it was funny because this was revealed 2 years ago and nobody was talking about it. But at the time, everybody was – I mean, Tiger King was everywhere. All the Tiger King memes and stuff like that. Carol effing Baskin, that was a great one, right? That's it. That's all I got, really.
Yeah, I don't know really what to comment on this. I'm just going to keep my comments to myself, I think.
That's fine. Okay. We do have some updates also in the Joe Biden classified documents scandal. It's kind of interesting. There's a couple of new bits of information that have popped up. First of all, we learned that Hunter Biden was photographed driving Joe Biden's infamous Corvette, the same Corvette that was parked right next to that stack of classified documents. And wouldn't you know it, in the car with him, it's got a couple of scantily clad young women. This is par for the course with Hunter Biden right here. I don't know who these girls are, and they look rather young. So it's possible they could be Biden family members, but I don't know. I don't know. It makes it even more likely that Hunter Biden knew full well what was in those documents and that those documents were used for the purposes of Hunter going out and soliciting business for the Biden crime family in these nations where we know that Joe and Hunter and the whole family have very deep business ties, extremely corrupt practices taking place here. And then on top of that, we also learned that the Secret Service happens to have regular records of who's visiting Joe Biden's Delaware home. Remember when this story broke, Abe, the whole narrative was, well, we don't have to keep records of who's coming and going from the Delaware home. But thank God, it seems that the Secret Service was actually doing their due diligence and keeping track the entire time. This could be the Rosetta Stone of what was happening over there at the Biden's Delaware home, Abe. I'm pretty excited to learn who would have been a regular visitor there.
Yeah, I'm the only part of this story that's intriguing to me, to be completely honest, is what we learn about what's in these documents or what they're trying to hide or that kind of stuff. Because I think the only thing that we're going to learn on this is stuff that alternative media or us as citizens learn. I think, you know, anything that comes from the DC or the special counsel is going to be a created narrative for the cover of. So, you know, I'm cautious. I'm being kind of cautious on this because none of the story has made sense from the beginning. The only thing that makes sense to me is the documents that they have are incriminating of some kind, right? That it's the only thing that makes sense to me is what documents would they take? So then the speculation obviously goes to connections between Burisma, China, Hunter Biden, you know, Ron the whole deal. Corruption behind all of that. And then from bigger, what part of these are from the Obama administration, what documents may have been hidden, i.e. Russiagate or talks and discussions about Russiagate. And then deeper than that is Hillary's emails and the incriminating evidence of treason involved in these as well. So, you know, I'm more interested in exactly what is in these documents that we can learn, because I have a feeling that that's the only way we're going to learn anything on this. The rest of it's just going to be turned into a false narrative cover up.
I think you're,
I'm just speculating. I don't know.
I think you're totally right. I think anything coming out of the official channels, if it's not coming out of the prosecutor's investigation into Hunter Biden himself, I think that we would probably get some straight shots from that. There is the possibility that the special counsel's investigation might reveal some incriminating practices and actions that the Biden family took. But most important to me as well is the content of those documents. But also, I think we can glean a lot from the behavior of Joe and Hunter Biden, and even more importantly, from the Department of Justice itself. I think the biggest point to highlight here is that you made mention of Hillary Clinton. We're talking tens of thousands of classified documents on her personal private bathroom server, special access programs, stuff that should have never left a SCIF that was digitized and put on her bathroom server. We know that other nations got access to that information. In China, most likely all the CIA assets were murdered. You know, very clear what happened. What happened with the FBI? Oh, no reasonable prosecutor would go after Hillary Clinton. Okay, all right, sure. All right, so then we have this fake Mar-a-Lago document scandal, and the FBI just charges right in. They don't give Donald Trump the same courtesy they gave Hillary Clinton. And then almost immediately thereafter, we have Joe Biden getting the same exact courtesy that the FBI afforded Hillary Clinton, and none that they afforded Donald Trump. So it's very clear that this is a lopsided situation. This is completely uneven justice system, and it's being put on full display for the entirety of the nation to see. You know, not only did the FBI not rush in, they didn't even want to take part in the search for these documents. They were perfectly comfortable allowing Biden's lawyers and his aides to do it. What's also kind of interesting to me is that just a couple of days before these documents were found at the Delaware residence, Joe and Hunter Biden came to the residence together. And I think the implication here is perhaps they were looking for documents themselves. Perhaps they realized that since the documents were found at the University of Pennsylvania in the Biden Center, that they should probably do a little bit of cleanup at their home. So what documents were disappeared? What documents have not officially been tallied?
Yeah, that's the biggest part of this, I think, for the public is the two-tier justice system on display again, right? The more that is hammered into the American psyche, the better. So I'm glad of that. I don't know, man. It's like a story like this drops and everybody in the mainstream media is all over it. And for me, that's always, I'm just like, okay, why? why is the mainstream media just like, you know, why did CBS News break this story of all places? And so I don't know. I've been kind of stepping away from this kind of story, really studying it too much, because it's just the way that it all broke and the way this happened just didn't make sense. If anything, though, I'm glad that the two-tier justice system is on full display and put on full blast. That needs to happen every single day, in my opinion.
Well, from my opinion, in a situation like this, obviously the fact that the mainstream media are the ones who broke it, that is significant. And since this story broke on CBS, every news agency has covered it. CNN, for the first time, just covered the crimes that were contained within Hunter Biden's laptop. I thought that was a stunning revelation to see. But I think that this is the culmination of years and years of fake news and cover-ups. We have a couple of things going on. I think that everybody recognizes that Joe Biden has passed his expiration date. They know that Joe Biden cannot stay in government. For some reason, he's going to have to leave. And I think his ego is such that he would not step away voluntarily. And then, of course, you have the fact that this was destined to come out. If this was a whistleblower type of situation, like, say, the prosecutor working on the Hunter Biden stuff, maybe he subpoenaed these documents and they knew that it was going to come out in some way. So they rushed to say, oh, guess what? You know, some people were ruffling through a closet. And so they put it out
there.
Yeah, they can get ahead of it before it comes out. So now the mainstream media is aware it's happening. They're aware it's going to come out. And if they don't report on it, well, then, of course, they're just going to lose more trust from the people who are still tuning in. And again, at the same time, it allows them to kill that second bird with the same stone. Get rid of Joe Biden and try to regain some credibility.
Yeah. There has been a definite shift, Jay, in the reporting from the mainstream media since the new year. I will definitely agree with you on that, we were all hoping that after the new year that the mainstream media would pull their head out of their asses. And it looks like in some kind of ways they're being forced to report about the Biden investigation in Delaware. So, yep. You know, my take on that is like, Biden is under investigation. His son is under investigation in his home state by a prosecutor appointed by Trump. I'll give you that much. But I just right. Like it's his own state, and it's high treason. It's high criminality. You know, the fact that this did come out of, from what I've seen, this came from the Delaware Hunter Biden case.
Yes.
That these documents were revealed in discovery. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe they're trying to, form the narrative and try to the media is trying to play cover as best they can for this.
Yes.
But then really what else is there then too? That's, and it just, the story just seems to be, recycled and no additional information brought out. That's why it's interesting to me. I don't know.
Well, to add to that, you know, although the mainstream media is reporting on it, and although they are at times reporting honestly, at the same time, they have talking heads that are playing cover for Biden and for Hunter, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, they discovered it and they did the right thing and they called it in. What's different is that Trump would actually use these documents to do something bad. Biden, oh, he's above reproach. You know, he'd never do anything. There's no scandal in the Biden administration. Elucidation Station says limited hangout. Absolutely. The full scope of what's happening here is going to be left to the alternative media, okay? Not just myself and Abe, but everybody out there who is attempting to get to the heart of what's really happening out there. The mainstream media, no matter how much truth they give you, is never going to reveal the full scope of a story. And if they can cover up in any way or minimize, you better believe they're absolutely going to. And so I think that Ben Rhodes appeared, I think, on MSNBC, you know, and he was, oh, yeah, it's totally different from what happened to Donald Trump. Yeah, it is totally different, but it's not in the way that you're actually saying it is. You see, President Trump had the power to declassify documents. Joe Biden did not have the unlimited power to classify documents. And if we take a look back at Joe Biden's history, we can see many different instances throughout his time in government where he appears to have mishandled classified documents. There was a picture that him standing in the Oval Office holding on to a classified folder. And like, that's a no-no. OK, I mean, like, he shouldn't even have had it outside of a skiff. And he definitely should not have allowed a reporter to take a picture of him with it. You know, I think that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are a lot like Alec Baldwin and a lot like all of these, you know, these global controllers. You know, they believe that they are above the law. They believe that our rules don't apply to them. And so as a result, they kind of make mistakes because they think that nobody's ever going to notice. Nobody's ever going to take him to task. Nobody's ever going to do anything. He's freaking Joe Biden. Why would he worry?
Don Jr. an hour ago, maybe Alec Baldwin will be lucky enough to share a cell with Michael Avenatti. Basta. Love it. Don Jr.'s been on fire on Truth lately.
That's great.
So some of my guidance from this comes from a crazy QAnon post, and I'm just, you know, a lot of people are just so sick and tired and so jaded by the whole Q thing at this point. Yeah. It's kind of like taboo to talk about. However, if you look up classification type ideas through Q posts, you get some interesting information. Number one are the rules for classification. One of the rules for classification does not include embarrassing information, which has been talked about very often over the past 4 or 5 years. And then secondarily, when you pull down, if you want to try to use this to guide you into what this really means, this does tie in the global coup, the stolen election, and the Russiagate hoax, along with Biden's weaponization of the U.S. government against American citizens, including Obama's Stasi, the DHS. That ties all of this stuff in through the criminality that we're seeing today. So if I were to make some kind of assumption or use any kind of clues to guide me into what this really is, I think that this is all tied together with the same people who are tied with a global coup being happening in America right now and all around the world.
I can get down with that. Absolutely. All right. Abe, you and I haven't talked about this yet, but I'm sure as a gun owner, you're aware of the recent ATF rule change on pistol braces and reclassifying millions of Americans' AR pistols as SBRs, short-barreled rifles. I don't know if the rule has actually been published in the Federal Register yet. I know that the ATF has published it on their website. And undoubtedly, this rule change will be challenged. I'm certain that there's already cases that are being prepared against it. They can't really do anything until it actually gets published. But once it does, if it's allowed to stand, and even if it is challenged, I think it's unlikely that it will be dispensed with quickly. You're going to have 120 days to register your AR pistols as SBRs, or you're going to have to take off the pistol brace. You're going to have to destroy it. Or you're going to have to make it into a gun with a 16-inch barrel so that it exceeds the length that pushes it into the SBR territory. One thing that's happening right now, and I'm pretty excited about it, is Representative Matt Gaetz has introduced a bill to abolish the ATF, the Abolish the ATF Act. I think this is exactly what we need to do. You know, when I posted about this on Truth Social and Twitter last week, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, oh, yeah, whatever, come and take it, you know, try to get me. And, you know, this isn't a law. It's definitely not a law. It's a rule. But unfortunately, Congress has essentially granted the ATF the power to make these rules, which have the same enforcement capability as laws. So if you get caught with an SBR, if you don't register it, you don't have your trust and your tax stamp, then you're looking at 10 years in prison. And even if you maintain those pistol braces and you take them off of the guns, they consider that intent to create an SBR. And so they will come after you. And make no mistake, if this is allowed to stand, the ATF is going to be paying a visit to a lot of Americans. This is essentially a de facto gun registry because there are a lot of AR pistols out there, millions. I've got several. Okay. And there are many, many millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans who own at least one, if not more themselves. And so the ATF, in my opinion, has gone way too far. And yes, I think they need to be abolished. And this is one of the most important issues that I think that we are facing right now.
Yeah, we have.
human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Watched as leftists since Obama have completely thrown the Constitution out the window and put administrative state laws, not laws, but rules into place, unlawful rules in place.
And unconstitutional. More specific,
and unconstitutional. And it takes 2 to 5 years for the freaking courts to go, okay, yeah, this is unconstitutional. Can't do that. Yep. There has been recently a ton of important gun cases that include accessories.
Yep.
And this is an accessory. So therefore, this rule is unconstitutional at its core and means nothing to actual gun owners. So I'll say that there, right? This rule means nothing to gun owners. They are not going to enforce this unconstitutional law and their rule in any kind of way. I'm not at the very least concerned with that. There's two reasons. Number one, again, the recent Supreme Court cases that we've talked about, Harold Wren has a couple of great substacks out there that we've covered that have talked about this. Go seek those out if you haven't seen those yet. And then secondarily, the New York law, as well as there is two other Supreme Court cases currently that are due anytime now that have to do with accessory bans and other 2A bans. So all of this stuff is the bigger picture of this for me is the lawfare behind all of this.
Yep.
And what I see is the left using lawfare to try to force unconstitutional rules on the American people. And then I see EPA ruling, destroying the administrative state's ability to make these rules. I see 2A rules, 2A constitutional rulings in the Supreme Court enforcing gun rights. And so every time I see a lawfare narrative happen to a constitutional right, except for, of course, First Amendment, which I'm hoping that boomerang will come, it always boomerangs around and strengthens our constitutional rights. So less concerned about the hyperbole beyond all of the gun stuff. I'm not concerned with what the ATF says, right? I'm concerned with what the constitutionality of it is, the state's rights of it. And then, you know, here in Illinois, they're passing all kinds of additional unconstitutional gun bans that are immediately getting challenged in the courts. And the appeals courts and other courts have been changed. Thank you to President Trump and Mitch McConnell for changing the courts to where we now have constitutional judges in place to stop these things from happening. So it's just, you know, it's another example of all those things that constantly pushing unconstitutional stuff down the throats of Americans. I'm just not concerned with the hyperbole of it because our Second Amendment rights are very strong right now, stronger than they've ever been, I believe.
I absolutely agree with you. And I don't believe that this rule will be allowed to stand. But what concerns me is the registry of firearms that will be created in the meantime. Either you throw away your pistol braces if you don't want to have to register your gun, or many, many people are going to be forced to go ahead and get that tax stamp and register their pistol as an SBR. And from that point on, it is forever altered, and you are now on that ATF registry. And if they want to, they can come and show up at your home. You know, we're talking about different accessories, you know, binary triggers, force reset triggers. You know, these are something that the ATF very recently determined essentially make your firearm into a machine gun. And they've shown up at people's houses and they have confiscated them. And if they're a dealer, they're charging them individually for every single trigger that they have. You know, we have great news with the bump stock ban. You know, that got overturned. But that was back in 2018. Anybody who had a bump stock already destroyed them. Or if you didn't, I don't want to know about it. But you know, it means that now the entire industry has to be restarted. You know, are gun manufacturers, are accessory manufacturers going to start making bump stocks again? Or are they going to wait until the whole thing washes out? And we are certain that their ATF is not going to appeal this decision. I think for me, the most dangerous aspect of this is that right now, either you destroy your own property, you might destroy your own gun. That's an option that you have. Or you allow yourself to be put on a registry. And with 120 days to make that decision, it's tight timing.
The there's also been stories out there about gun registries in general. I'm more concerned with that story. The background checks and that stuff. If you purchase a firearm at all and a background check is submitted to the ATF,
yep,
you're already on a gun registry list. So that whole discussion should get pushed farther as well. That's more where my concern is, that the ATF and the government finding loopholes or ways to limit constitutional rights such as the Second Amendment. They can't use the federal government to stop these things now. So they're going after ammunition, they're going after manufacturers, they're targeting, they're doing the thing that they always do. If they can't get people to do what they want to do, then they'll target the people that are allowing it to happen. So
right.
It's definitely something that should be raised awareness on it, especially the gun registry thing. As far as what the ATF says and what the press releases coming out of this administration, I'm just whatever. Good, talk more. Talk more.
Well, I think that if we can abolish the ATF, that would be the absolute best case scenario. Could it make it through the House? I think so. Could it make it through the Senate? Probably not. But we'll have to see. And it's certainly something worthwhile. And just because it's a maybe doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to go for it as much as we can. And more than anything, guys, I want to make sure that every single one of you are actively fighting for your Second Amendment rights, because no matter how strong they appear, as we've seen from the last several decades, as soon as you believe you're safe, as soon as you stop actively fighting to maintain your rights, that's when they get in there, and that's when they start chiseling them away. And this isn't even we haven't even mentioned all of the disabled veterans who enjoy shooting a variety of firearms and need those pistol stabilizing braces so that they can do it and enjoy it and actually be accurate. This also has potential for perhaps violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'd like to see it go down that path as well, because I think that's something that a lot of people can understand. Regardless of whether or not you are a disabled person or a disabled veteran, or you've got full use of both of your arms and all aspects of your body, pistol braces are a unique and I think exciting way to get out there and to practice your Second Amendment. So I want to tell everybody here today that I am buying as many pistol braces as I can right now, because I want to support the industry, as many as I need. I guess I won't have any extras around. But okay, right now, Abe, a lot of these decisions about what's going to happen in the future of humanity, the future of the world, they're essentially being talked about and discussed at Davos, at the World Economic Forum. I have also, just in the same way, there's been kind of a shift in the general reporting about politics and the Biden regime. I kind of feel like there's been a bit of a shift in the reporting about the World Economic Forum. There's some hot takes coming out from people that are speaking there. John Kerry demanding more money, saying that in order to fight climate change, all we need is more cash. We're just going to have to make things more expensive so we can fight climate change. It's the biggest poppycock that I can possibly imagine. And then he compared himself and the other global elites to aliens. He said that we're essentially extraterrestrials. And, just looking at John Kerry's face, he couldn't be more right. He looks like he is a plastic mannequin. You ever seen the movie Brazil? Terry Gilliam's Brazil, from the mother that had her face.
Great comparison.
That's what he looks like.
Great comparison.
Hang on, I need to find that so you guys can understand what we're talking about. But if you haven't seen the movie Brazil, you need to. Brazil, mother.
Slug Trail, Paul Thaddeus, Raid on Antifa, J-Bell dropping a can on you, Thumper Rose, Joe Tracy B, Debbie Ross out there as always doing the great work she does, Titties and Beer, Old Rusty, Algorithm. Let's see, who else is out there? Lonely German and many others. Tiaz Burton, Old Rusty, thanks guys for being here today. Much love to y'all.
Okay, take a look at this and tell me if this doesn't look like John Kerry.
You've been promoted. It's your mother, isn't it? Pulling strings again.
This is the future of Davos.
Responsibility. Your poor father would be appalled at your lack of promotion. Mother, I just wish you would stop interfering. I don't want promotion. I'm happy where I am.
All right, you guys get the idea. John Kerry's face is pulled back so far that he does look like an alien. Absolutely looks like an alien. So I also saw some reporting.
No doubt about it.
I saw some reporting, Abe, that also suggested that there's a bit of a mutiny going on at the World Economic Forum. You know, I mean, we kind of joke around about, you know, King Klaus. He believes he's basically the leader of the free world. You know, he doesn't hold a position in a government, but yet he's going to the G20 summit. Yet he is pushing all of this policy and these decision making things on the leaders of the free world, if you will. I say that in quotations. But apparently the Zoomers that are working at the World Economic Forum are starting to revolt because he's an old white man after all. And of course, he's German and his father was a Nazi. So there is seemingly some type of mutiny that's happening. There is discussion about how Klaus Schwab needs to step down and there needs to be some clear line of succession. Maybe Alexander Soros can step in that respect, because he's certainly young enough. He's rich enough and he's elite enough. But one of the hottest things to come out of the World Economic Forum, I thought, was this a number of different interactions Klaus Schwab had with independent journalists. Take a look at this.
Jeremy Schwab. I'm from Japan. May I ask
from?
I'm from Japan.
Yeah.
And may I ask you for a comment?
No,
we're on our way to the next thing. We're a bit late.
I can just talk with you and then ask questions.
I think we're gonna rush, actually. But thank you. Thanks very much.
Which media are you with?
I am an independent journalist from Japan.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you. No, thank you. Not interested. Thank you. Mein Führer, I'm not interested. We can't talk to independent journalists. The World Economic Forum.
If you were with BBC.
Yes.
Then we talk.
Yeah, Nippon, you know, the Xinhua, the official Chinese state news agency. I think they probably would have been able to sit down and have a conversation with him. But, you know, I feel like there is this palpable panic, this anxiety among the so-called global elites, the people at the World Economic Forum, the people at the G20. I think that they know that the spell that they thought they wove on the entire world is starting to disintegrate. And obviously, economies of the world, economies of scale, are starting to disintegrate. I think it's interesting to note that the United States hit its debt limit today, Abe. Janet Yellen at the Treasury wrote a strongly worded letter to Congress letting them know that we can't default. And I don't think we're going to default. But I mean, the only way we can't default is to raise the debt ceiling again or perform some radical cutting. Even if we cut half the federal budget, we still got to pay the interest on that debt, the interest on that money that the Federal Reserve prints for us. And we pay for it. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll wait for our great patriots in D.C. to kick the can down the proverbial road again and cut another check to Ukraine and then, you know, borrow some money from China or wherever else. It's this issue, man, has been at the foundation of the grassroots fight from the beginning. It is just baffling to me that they just keep spending money, keep borrowing money, don't care. And it's as if they are trying to force the collapse of the fiat dollar. And, I don't know, man. It's, this stuff's coming to a head. I know it feels like this year, one way or another, this issue of our economy and the fiat dollar and, the global transfer of money through SWIFT and all that stuff. You know, all these stories, seems like this year is going to be the year for that to come to a head. And I don't know how it's going to play out. There's a lot of fear porn out there that it's going to collapse and we're all going to, you know, a depression's coming. And I don't know, man. I think nobody really knows where it's going, but I think everybody should be rightfully concerned that DC just keeps ignoring $32 trillion in debt and just keeps spending more money. There's already rumors that more money going to Ukraine. So, I hope that, the foundation of this fight that everyone was so critical about with Republicans for the speaker battle And I hope that that is a foundation of the fight with regards to things like these. And I'm hearing that they are going to be submitting emergency line item fundings for specific parts of the government and only allow those specific line items to be funded. Now, the idea of that is great in idea. Can they actually practically, Congress actually put together a minimum budget that doesn't send trillions of dollars overseas, that doesn't send a useless money to causes like studying climate change or wherever the hell else they use it for? Can they do it? And so I think all of us should be holding our representatives and Congress to their feet to the fire and say, no more balanced budgets, no more spending, no more raising the debt limit. That's it. Find another way.
Yeah. We spend so much money, wasted cash on a lot of different things that we could just end right now. I think that this is also another pressing issue. At this point, it seems like the people that are in charge, I mean, it's the inmates running the asylum. They know that this is unsustainable, and all they're doing is just pushing it, you know, to the next Congress. Either they raise the debt ceiling limit or they're going to have to cut spending, and they're going to have to do it on a permanent basis. You know, you mentioned more money going to Ukraine. Absolutely. We just had Ukrainian soldiers land here in the United States of America. When the whole conflict with Russia and Ukraine started up, you know, that's not something they would have done. I think that at this point they feel that there's not going to be any large scale conflict between Russia and anybody else but Ukraine. But it's unfortunate because we're wasting money training those guys. This is a losing battle for the country of Ukraine, and we don't need to be perpetuating global conflicts like this. And Fred Awakening says, I miss Kimberly. He also, earlier in the show, I forgot to say these super chats over on Rumble. Thank you, as always, Fredo, for the great comments and the support. He says, this Biden thing reminds me of Cuomo. Gets ousted for playing grab ass versus killing 15,000 elderly. You're absolutely right. There are many, many more worse crimes that Joe Biden has committed. Biden's real crimes get swept under the rug, and it's all about some documents. Fredo also says, why is he even pointing the gun at a photographer, loaded or not? Fab, effectively, wait, I don't know what that means. F-A-B, F Alec Ball, oh, like F-J-B, F-A-B, the Trump curse is real. Yeah, so Helena Hutchins, she was the cinematographer. So she was standing behind the camera and framing the shot of how it was going to look when Alec crossed through. And he wasn't supposed to shoot. I mean, they weren't filming. But, you know, obviously he's a moron at the end of the day. So Richard Dollar said, Zach, I thought you were going to bust out singing Beast of Burden. I don't know why you thought I was going to sing. I can sing Beast of Burden, but I don't know where that came from. Okay.
I don't believe you. I'll
never
sure?
be your beast of burden. I walk for miles. My feet are hurting. Never be. Okay. That's a free one. And that's it. That's all we're doing. I was kind of thinking, Abe, is that some night it might be fun to just do like a karaoke night, like TikTok. You know, he did that on a number of occasions. And I think that would be so fun. Trigger discipline, EC. That's correct. Alec Baldwin has no trigger discipline.
Just don't crack jokes. When people are singing, just don't crack jokes. It's not funny.
TZ Burton says Baldwin was having sex with her. I mean, that is plausible. That's absolutely plausible. I think Alec is that slimy kind of dude that would actually be doing it. Let's see. And then also Mint PF says, Zach, this is old, but have you seen this video? Jesse Ventura and Dr. Rima Labo regarding the great culling. You can search for it on Rumble. I don't know if I've seen it. Was that from Jesse's TV show that he did, that conspiracy theory or whatever?
Yeah. It was from way back. He did an interview with a doctor talking about leaving the country because of being told that the seven people who control people like the aristocrats that are Hillary Clinton and others, they continually push narratives and push information on the people. And the only way that they change course is if people push back. It was a very interesting discussion, actually. It talks about how we, the people, do have the power, even against those who control the world's oligarchs.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We in humanity, you know, whether it's the people of the United States or just the people of the world, we have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. I think that the thing that's stopping us from being able to use that power is having the ability to organize and to organize effectively, you know, and that is as much a statement about perhaps our will as it is about the abilities of this deep state apparatus to infiltrate and destroy any of our attempts to organize and to be able to, you know, fight back against them. Hard Knock News says, Zach, I bought a crossbow last week and they are pretty cool. That's awesome. I've always wanted a crossbow. Send me some pictures. I would be interested to see. I mean, is it like a modern crossbow or is it like one of those like old school Game of Thrones, like bolt crossbows where it looks like it's aged and antique or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I've always identified with Daryl too.
Yes, absolutely. Walking Dead. Yeah, I love Daryl. Fredo says, "How much do we have to donate to avoid karaoke night?" I got five on it. All right, all right.
As long as it's not me, you got some pipes there. That's okay for you to do as long as I don't sing.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, so in regard to the last video clip that I played of the Klaus Schwab being confronted on the street, the same thing happened. Rebel News was able to track down Albert Bourla. He's the Pfizer CEO. And they had a couple of minutes with him walking from one destination to the next. And I thought it was another revelational interaction. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Mr. Bourla, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a gold bear,
right? Boom.
Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any
I can answer that question. Hell no, he's not ashamed. Think about how many billions of dollars Pfizer took in. Absolutely not. They're not going to start issuing refunds. Good on Rebel News for getting Albert Bourla for 6 minutes. This goes on for another 5 minutes of them following him and asking him questions. I was shocked more than anything. Well, first of all, his Harry Potter scarf. But the other aspect is that they didn't have security around him. Like, they allowed Rebel News to just continue to walk alongside of him and keep asking him questions. It was great. You know, what a get.
I love it. And there have been a couple others. I think Bannon's got Nor Bin Laden over there, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Something's weird about Nor Bin Laden. Anyways, I love the idea that they're putting their feet to the fire on the street, man. Like Cat Girl says, they won't be able to walk down the street. Yeah. I love it. And, you know, putting them on the spot, making them answer the questions shows you even more that they're just like, yeah, whatever. I really don't give a shit what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this needs to happen more often. And, you know, it's been a long time since we saw. You remember Alex Jones when he would go to Bilderberg and, you know, he'd stake out the building. Like, those were the glory days, you know, before, like, you know, anything was in question other than Alex Jones was like the guy, like putting out alternative media. For that time, he was. And really, you know, as much as, you know, whatever people think about him, I think Alex Jones truly did open the door for a lot of people to get out there and start talking about things that they wouldn't otherwise. So I appreciate him for that. And I certainly appreciated his coverage at Bilderberg. But this needs to be happening more often. Like, you know, I don't have the budget to fly to Davos personally. You know, it has to be these larger conservative independent outlets. So Rebel News, good for you. Very, very happy about what you guys were able to achieve. Let's talk about Nor Bin Laden for a second. You know, I mean, just the general concept. I mean, what is she? Is Osama bin Laden's niece? Is that it?
This has always been my question because who is her father?
Well, I mean, I would assume that would be Osama bin Laden's brother.
Brother or something like that, right? Because apparently she lived with bin Laden's ex-wife or something. There's a connection there. It's that whole family thing, you know, a whole keep it in the family thing. Anyways, they don't allow people in Davos. They don't allow people who they don't want there in Davos. So how the hell did Rebel News get there? And how the hell did Bannon get Osama bin Laden there? The whole thing is interesting. I don't know.
I
found it interesting.
It must have been a feat, obviously. You know, I mean, perhaps they traveled somewhere else and then drove into Davos so that they could, you know, make it look like they weren't going there. But I went to actually Noor's website, and she says she was born in Switzerland to a Swiss mother and a Saudi father with the most controversial name in the 21st century. At first glance, it isn't obvious that I would be a freedom-loving, Americanophile, and patriot at heart. My background story and early life were recorded in my mom's best-selling book, Inside the Kingdom, My Life in Saudi Arabia, by Carmen bin Laden. In short, upon realizing that she couldn't bring herself to raise her three girls in Saudi culture, she fought a long, harsh battle in Swiss courts to gain our freedom and to secure our upbringing in the West with Judeo-Christian values. I think that if her life had been different, if she had been raised in Saudi Arabia, she probably wouldn't be doing work with Steve Bannon. She probably wouldn't be an American patriot. But it's my understanding.
I agree.
It's my understanding that she is an American citizen now. She basically says that the clash between my life and how different it would have been in Saudi Arabia had been lost, made me appreciate our values and freedoms here in the West from early on in my childhood. Traveling to America extensively from the age of three onwards further cemented my gratitude for our way of life and my love for the American way in particular. And let me just say this. I've said this so many times. First-generation Americans, they're the most patriotic people that you can possibly meet because they've seen the other side of the coin. You know, there's a lot of Americans who were born and raised here. You know, their families have been here for generations, and they take it for granted. They don't understand how much worse it could be. They don't really understand the treasure that they hold, how lucky they are to have been blessed, to have been born here in America. And so when somebody emigrates here from some place like Saudi Arabia they want to live that American dream, you know, they end up being the staunchest allies of the American patriot movement because they understand just how horrible it can be. And she continues, though I've largely kept to myself since the tragic day of 9/11, I can no longer stand by and watch as America burns. A supporter of President Trump since his campaigning days of 2015, I felt compelled to speak up ahead of the 2020 elections, the most consequential in America's history. Now, why? Because the more we are to take a stand in the fight for the free world, the higher the chance of saving Western civilization from the brink of collapse. Believe General Flynn when he writes, "When the destiny of the United States is at stake, and it is, the very future of the entire world is threatened. As the last stand of true freedom in the world, the fate of humanity rests on the shoulders of America and President Trump. Patriots across the globe are watching closely and rooting for their success, as it will be ours too." I like her. You know, before I got deleted from Twitter, yeah. I was following her on Twitter. And I actually, you know, I haven't even checked to see if I'm still following her now that I'm back on there. But, you know, from what I've seen from the interviews,
I've seen her announced, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hang on just a second. I'm going to check. Noor.
I didn't mean to. If it came off as a slight, I'm just, it's interesting how, you know, how these people show up in places where not normal people can be. I don't know. I just want to, I'm looking forward to a report today with Bannon. I'm actually going to highlight that on my show later on tonight, because I think she's going to have some interesting insight into the happenings over there at Davos. And I love the fact that the Harry Potter style mysticism of Luciferian is just right out in the open as well.
So she was actually following me and I was no longer following her. So I just went and followed her. I'm going to send her a message. We're going to see if we can get her on the show. Good stuff.
There you go. Yeah. See if you can get some insight from what she's seen over there. I would love to hear that as well. And I know she's going to be doing a spot with Bannon today. So that'll be interesting for sure.
All right. Sweet. Okay. Let's go ahead and go through some of these thank yous. That was the Pfizer dude with the weird throat. Yes, it was the Pfizer dude with the weird throat. That's right. Thank you very much for everybody who's tuning in over on the Foxhole, over on Rumble, over on Getter, over on Odyssey. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you to Debbie for always keeping the chat. I'm not muted. Rain with him, I'm not muted. Oh, man, you had me for a second there. Janice6966 says, I got nothing productive to add. This is just to break your balls and force you to read my comment. I'll take it. I'll take it. I love being able to interact with the chat, you guys. You know, I have really come to appreciate live streaming over like actually like producing videos, not only because they just take so much time and there is sometimes diminishing returns from doing that, you know. I think more people today are more interested in watching the live streams for the same reason that I'm more interested in doing them, because we get to interact. We get to hang out. We get to chat. And I want to know what you guys are thinking as much as, you know, I think you're hoping to learn what I'm thinking. Let me go ahead and just say one more time, please hit that like button. Almost 3,000 people here and only 409 likes. It's absolutely free. Four dickheads in the chat. hit the thumbs down button. Thank you at least for the view. I appreciate it. But if you could out there in the Rumble chat help me to overcome those four dislikes, then please go ahead and do it. Over here on my favorite platform, the Foxhole, because I know these guys. They're great people. Nikki the Greek dropped a cookie. Porpoiseful dropped a can. Maggie May dropped some shades. And Just Duckies dropped a cookie. Good to see you, brother. J-Bell dropped a can and joined as a subscriber, a bronze tier subscriber. Thank you so much, J-Bell. I really appreciate it. J-Bell is a fine researcher. And all of these people that I'm naming over here, they're worth following over on the Foxhole and on Pilled. Who Cares says, don't forget, Biden should not have had those docs for 6 years in the first place. Absolutely. 100%. I see four dislikes, so you might want to go ahead and refresh because, yes. Okay. 470. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah, he shouldn't have had the docs in the first place. You know, all kinds of illegal activity happening there. J-Bell, thanks again for another can. Salty Nuts dropped a cookie. Liberty Bell says, love you guys. Great show. J-Bell dropped another cookie. Thank you so much, Jay. Just Duckies says it's a really depressing red pill considering we're at our debt ceiling, yet we've sent $100 billion to Ukraine. It is. But, you know, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. I think that the only way that we're going to stop spending in the way that we have is when we are confronted with the need to be forced to stop spending in that way. Live Free or Die 1776 on Rumble says, thank you for all you do and have done for truth, Zach and Abe. What is Abe's Rumble channel? I can never find it. Thanks. Abe, absolutely. Uncensored Abe, please tell people how they can find you.
Yes, do me a favor. Go to uncensoredabe.com. Bookmark the website so you can find out how to get a hold of me. All of my true social, all of my information is on there. Every Monday through Friday, 5 Eastern, 4 Central. And I'm always hanging out on other streams too, just kind of trying to keep myself busy, and it's getting kind of lonely around this place. So I've been hanging out on the Foxhole with a bunch of other great creators out there. The Fallen One, J-Bell stream. Sean and Oz had some great streams out there recently, and many others. So if you're not over there on the pill.net, foxhole.app, if you're looking for different content that's free, you don't have to pay for Roku. You don't have to pay for garbage TV that'll tell you stuff that is narrative-based and isn't the truth. That's what we try to do over here at thepill.net, so we appreciate you all very much. Zach, it's been fun as always. I look forward to every Thursday, and I'm looking forward to 5 Eastern, 4 Central with the Uncensored family later on tonight. Much love, fam. Good to see you guys.
Absolutely. Now, also, Rumble Pilgrim says, Subscribestar is another easy way to support this show. Monthly fee deducted from my credit card. Yes, thank you to all 94 of the Patriots over on Subscribestar that support the show monthly. Really appreciate you guys. Obviously, we are listener supported content. Can't do it without the support. Filter Dog One says, just for the beast of burden, dropped a can. Nakaz 808 says, they'll have to open up Fort Knox to pay off a few hundred billion if the safe already hasn't been raided. Abe, something tells me that there is no gold left in Fort Knox. Maggie May dropped a can. Mountain Lace said, they know they must crush the American dollar to usher in digital currency. I think that absolutely could be part of the plan. Just Jules says, thank you for the serenade, RP. And then J-Bell dropped a phone because she says, because you sang, LOL. Rise Attire says, Nora is a patriot. I read her writings and I trust her as much as it's possible to trust someone you don't know. A. Allen Godwins dropped some shades. Karen Hair 7 dropped a cookie. And Warrior Mima dropped a ship saying, I don't have anything valuable to add either, except that I love our Foxhole family. Appreciate you. Love you all as well. I will be back today at 4 p.m. on Badlands and 412 with another episode of Taking It Back with myself, Frankie Val, and Adel Nero. And until that time, good luck, everyone, and God bless. I'm going to pass out the gold pills right now. We'll see you soon. Live Free or Die, 1776, says, hold on, let me turn this down. Live Free or Die, 1776, says, one last question. Is it best to donate through locals or directly to your websites? I think that for me, it is best to donate directly to the website, because then I'm only paying one fee to the credit card processor. Locals takes the fee for themselves plus the fee for the processing itself. Abe, how about you? Okay. All right. All right. Yes. And as always, make sure that you like, make sure that you're subscribed, make sure you share the show on all your favorite social media platforms. I love you guys. We'll see you tonight.